على رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Today inshallah we will continue with the 18th hadith in this book by Imam al-Nawawi Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyya. Yes, he said, alayhi rahmatullah, وَعَنْ أَبِي ذَرٍ جُنْدُدْ إِبْنِ جُنَادَ الْغِفَارِي وَعَبِي عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ مُعَاذِ بْنِ جَبَلٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُمَا عَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن وفي بعض النسخ حسن صحيح. عن أبي ذر جندب بن جنادة الغفاري وأبي عبد الرحمن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن وفي بعض النسخ حسن صحيح. Here Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah has brought the hadith that has been reported by two companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned here. But there are other reports that makes us understand that besides the two of them, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu also reported this hadith, as mentioned by الشيخ الألباني عليه رحمة الله in his تحقيق of صحيح الجامع الصغير. So here الإمام النووي said عليه رحمة الله that عن أبي ذر جندد ابن جنادة الغفاري, that from جندد ابن جنادة whose kunya is أبو ذر الغفاري وأبي عبد الرحمن معاذ بن جبل, and also from أبو عبد الرحمن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله تعالى عنهما, may Allah be pleased with both of them, عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, from the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, that he said عليه الصلاة والسلام اتق الله حيثما كنت, fear Allah wherever you are, wherever you are, fear Allah. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا, follow up السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ, follow up an evil deed, a sinful deed, with a good one. A sinful deed, follow it up with a good one. You fall into a sin, quickly do something that is righteous. He says, when you do that, tamfuha. The second one, the good one, will obliterate the first one. He says, wa khaliqi an-nasa bi khuluqin hasanin, and deal with the people in a nice manner. Khaliqi an-nas, relate to the people, the khuluqin, with character, hasanin, that is nice. Deal with people well, treat people well. So three things he mentioned in this hadith, alayhi salatu wassalam. The first one has to do between the servant and Allah. Ittaqillaha haythu ma kunt. The second one has to do with that servant himself. between himself. He says, وَأَتْبِعِ الْحَيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةِ. It's for him. He says, وَخَلِقِ النَّاسَ بِخَلُقِ حَسَنِ. That's for others aside from him. It's very, very comprehensive. So that's why Imam al-Nawawi, we remember he said at the Muqaddima that all the hadith, every hadith he has compiled here is from Jawami al-Qur'an. That is, simple expressions but with comprehensive entailment. A simple word with so many meanings. Every dealing between we and Allah has to do with taqwa. Every dealing between we and ourselves has to do with falling into a sin, going out of the sin, falling into a sin, repenting, and like that. Then dealing with the people. The foundation is being nice to them. This is all, it encompasses everything that we do as Muslims. So it is from the Jawami or the Kalim of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, an Abi Zarrin Jundubi Ibn Junada al-Ghifari. This companion, Jundub Ibn Junada. Some of the people will say it is Jundab Ibn Junada. So, but here, what we have found is Jundub Ibn Junada. They are all available in records. Sometimes you see it's being called Jundub Ibn Junada. Sometimes it's called Jundab Ibn Junada. But he's the same companion that we know as Abu Zarr al-Ghifari. Abu Zarr al-Ghifari, his name is Jundub Ibn Junada. Radiallahu anhu. He is from the early entrance into Islam. From amongst those who came into Islam in the very, very early times was Jundub ibn Junada, Abu Zarr al-Ghifari. And that was why he said, that Imam al-Bukhari, alayhi rahmatullah, has recorded of him in his book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He said, كُنْتُ أَوَّلَ مَنْ حَيَّاهُ بِتَحِيَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ كُنْتُ أَوَّلَ مَنْ حَيَّ الرَّسُولِ يَعْنِي بِتَحِيَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The first person to say, As-salamu alaykum to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jundub ibn Junada. The first person who said, As-salamu alaykum, in the manner of Islam to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is Jundub ibn Junada, Abu Zarr al-Ghifari. So it shows his early, coming to Islam early. And from the benefits of that hadith is that it meant that before saying the taslim became enshrined in our sharia, there were ways of greeting. There were ways people greeted themselves. When Islam came, Allah replaced it with saying, As-salamu alaykum. So the first person to say that to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is Jundub ibn Junada radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet asked him alayhi salatu wa sallam, from where are you? Where are you from? He says, it's from Banu Dhifar. To go back to your people. Perhaps with you, Allah will bring benefit to them. And that was what actually happened. Abu Zarr al-Ghifari went back to his people. And from him, all of his tribe became Muslims. All of his tribe came to Islam. From Abu Zarr al-Ghifari. From him alone, all of his people came into him, and he brought them to Medina. So, Jundub ibn Junada radiallahu anhu is from the eminent people in this ummah, and he's from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And he's very, very careful companion with regards to being afraid of Allah. That's why some of the people append themselves to him. We had intended to mention that, but inshallah we'll just mention a few of it. The Shia ascribe themselves to Abu Zarr al-Ghifari. And the Sufis also ascribe themselves to Abu Zarr al-Ghifari. The Sufis ascribe themselves to Abu Zarr al-Ghifari from the aspect of Zuhud. Because he was very, very conscious in terms of Zuhud. Zuhud is to live an abstemious life using things that are ordinarily permissible to attain righteousness. Using things that are ordinarily permissible to attain righteousness. This is good. And leaving things that are ordinarily permissible to attain righteousness. Let's give an example to make it clear. Somebody has opportunity to eat two pieces of meat in the food. He eats one and gives one out. You know, it's ordinarily permissible that he eats the two pieces, but he begins to look for somebody to give. So this is the fact as well. By leaving something that is ordinarily permissible to seek Allah's faith, some things are ordinarily permissible, we could do them. He leaves them because he wants to seek Allah's faith. He wants Allah to reward him for leaving them. Most of the time, these ones come under the issues of makruhat, or yani mutashabbihat. And he had said to us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that وَمَنِ اتَّقَى التَّقْوَى. We'll come to that, inshallah. It says, وَمَنِ اتَّقَى الشُّبْهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَإِرْضِهِ. The one who leaves shubhat, he builds the fence between himself and shubhat. فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ. He has preserved his religion. وَإِرْضِهِ. And his honor. وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبْهَاتِ. The one who is used to get into shubhat, who gets into ambiguous matters, waqa'a fil haram. He soon falls into things that are haram. So, zuhud also is leaving shubhat. Don't get into shubhat. It's from zuhud. So, from those who was very, very involved in this was Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. And because at the time of the companions, radiallahu anhu, people like Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan, when Islam, Allah gave Islam victory, and there was abundant wealth, and people began to enjoy the wealth that Allah has provided them the wealth. And he had told us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Eat and drink, but don't go excess. And here, going excess, while we eat and drink, is haram. Every Muslim should abstain from this. But also from wakulu washrabu, from eat all of you and drink all of you, of course, things that are permissible. Some of the people desire that we do not eat to our fill, to our needs. When they eat a little and give the rest to others. From those who think that this is what we should always do all the time, is Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. He ate a little. He slept a little. He. It's not wrong. It's not also wrong to keep, you know, to the normal level one eats. It's not also wrong to do so. But don't forget, we have said that from zuhud is to use things that are ordinarily permissible to attain righteousness. So he became someone who criticized some of those who eat ordinarily. That no, while you eat, don't give to somebody, give to people, don't enjoy this world, less. People say, no, you have a right not to, but we also have a right to also enjoy it. So some of the Sufis ascribe themselves to this companion, but he is free from Sufiya. He does not know anything called Sufiya. Because Sufiya started almost 300 to 400 years later, after the companion died, radiallahu anhu. But you know, the people of innovation, they be searching through the verses of the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just to see where to hang on to. And say, okay, this is where we are hanging on to. But when you look at the matter properly, you see that which they have hung themselves onto does not have any connection with what by which they want to hang themselves onto it. That is by the way of the Sufi. By the way of the Shia, it is from the accusations they have against companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Uthman ibn Affan, Abu Abdullah. They say that Uthman ibn Affan banished Abu Dharr al-Ghifari to a place called Rabza. Rabza is a city around Makkah, not far away, but in the desert at the time. It's not a place people lived, like a village, 1, 2, 3 people. Uthman ibn Affan got banished Abu Dharr because of those comments we talked about. That Uthman banished him, ordered Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, because Abu Dharr al-Ghifari was in Sham. He was from those companions who went to Sham. He said last week that about 10,000 companions entered Sham. So one of them was Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. So when he was in Sham, he was giving these speeches. So people thought that he was abusing government and all that, but he wasn't doing that. He was only encouraging the people to eat less and give out more. So some of those who wanted to ferment trouble used the opportunity. So when the matter became difficult, Uthman ibn Affan told Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan to encourage Abu Dharr al-Ghifari to step down those calls because it was being used against its intentions. So when Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu will refuse to do that, he said, okay, instead of stopping, I'll rather leave. I can't wait to see these things happen. So he left and went to Rabza. He was not banished to Rabza. He left for Rabza. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari left for Rabza. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari was not banished to Rabza. He chose to stay in Rabza so that his comments will not be an opportunity for the people to raise dust against government, even when they finally used it at the end of the day. It was part of what they were saying. But that was why they always say, Uthman ibn Affan, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, they were spending money as they like. And they were depend on comments of the people like Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. So Abu Dharr al-Ghifari was not intending that at all, because he knew the implications of attacking the government in the public. Remember that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said to us, we read that while we were reading the Sunnah. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, the eminent ones, the elderly ones amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, of course from whom is Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, tell us never to oppose the leaders in the public. We should never go against the leaders. They say that to us. Each time there's a person, don't ever go against the leader. It's a practice that's well known amongst the companions that leaders are not attacking the public. Leaders are not abusing the public. Leaders of authority, leaders of communities, under which people are, they are not abused in the public. And they are not even abused in the secret. We pray for them and ask Allah to guide them aright. We do not abuse them in the public. So, the Shia append themselves and say, no, you see now, Uthman ibn Affan, after he's working power, and then now he sends Abu Dharr al-Ghifari to Rabza. He does not want to see Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. So it's from the attack against Uthman ibn Affan from the Shia. So we say this is not correct. You have twisted history. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari chose to go to Rabza. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari was not banished to Rabza. So Jundub ibn Junada is his name, radiyallahu anhu. And with him, this hadith has been reported by Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, Abu Abdurrahman. You see, one nice thing about this Arba'un is that each companion that Imam al-Nawawi mentions, he mentions his kunya. Every one of them. So we know today that Mu'adh ibn Jabal is who? Abu Abdurrahman. And he's from also the most learned people in this ummah. Mu'adh ibn Jabal is one of the most learned human beings in this ummah. In an hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ بِحَرَامِ اللَّهِ وَحَلَالِهِ أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ بِحَرَامِ اللَّهِ وَحَلَالِهِ. The most learned human being, the isnad of this hadith is Hassan. The most learned human being regarding what is haram and what is halal, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Who said so? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He was very learned from this. Also about him, the Prophet told him one day, sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ya Mu'adh, says labbaik. That labbaik we say when we are called. From those half of whom we take is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The Prophet called him, ya Mu'adh, says labbaik. He answered the Prophet Muhammad, and the Prophet said, inni uhibbuka, I love you. Allah loves him too. Anyone that the Prophet loves, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah loves him. He called him, called his attention, Mu'adh, I love you. And he said to the Prophet Muhammad, he says, wallahi, ana uhibbuka. I swear by Allah, I love you too. And it is true that he loved the Prophet Muhammad. If it is not true, revelation will come from the heavens. It is in that way. From Sunnah to Takririya is that Mu'adh ibn Jabal loved the Prophet Muhammad. And from Sunnah also Qawliya is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved Mu'adh. So radiyallahu anhu wa radiyallahu Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. After he said that to him alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, ala u'allimuka kalimat taquluha fi kulli duburi salat. Should I not teach you something? But you are going to speak each time you finish your salat. Let me teach you something. You will say every salat. Some riwayat, you say, let me teach you something. Don't ever leave it when you finish your salat. You say, teach me, O Messenger of Allah. So say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. That hadith, that zikr, is how it came. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika. Allah, assist me to remember you all the time. Help me to be able to remember you all the time, O Allah. Worshipita, assist me to give thanks to you all the time. O Husni Ibadati, assist me to be perfect in my worship all the time. Assist me, help me. To remember you, help me to give thanks to you. Help me to make sure that when I worship you, my worship is what? Perfect. Sound. No innovation in value. So that was how that became. That hadith is in Adab al-Mufrad. There are many other books in Sunan Abi Dawud, Sunan an-Nasa'i. Mu'adh ibn Jabal is from the most eminent people in this world. That was why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam sent him to Yemen to go and teach the people Islam. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was the one, he sent him to Jabal. He says, "A'lamu an-nas bi halalillahi wa haramihi." Khalas. So he's qualified over. Go to Yemen. And while he was going, the Prophet said to him again, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, ya Mu'adh, say, O Mu'adh, innaka asa alla talqani ba'da ami hadha. As you are going, maybe you will never meet me again after now. And he never came back to meet the Prophet. Because he cried on this incident. He cried on this incident. He says, وَلَعَلَّكَ أَن تَمُرَّ بِمَسْجِدِي وَقَبْرِي. Maybe what will happen is that you only be passing by my mosque and my graves. And when he came back, he did not meet the Prophet. He cried. The Prophet said, لَا تَبْكِي يَا مُعَاذ. He cried. So how will somebody we love say to us, I love you. And then we say, me too, I love you. And then one day he say, hey, come and go to Yemen. And as he's going, he says, look, maybe you'll not see me again. You know how it will be? Heartfelt. So he cried. But I said, don't cry. Don't cry. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal, these are the kind of people. If you say the Prophet was sending people to go and preach, look at the one he's sending them. Before he sent him, let us know who he is. A'lamu an-nas bi halalillahi wa haramihi. Go and teach Islam. So the one who teaches is the one who knows. As the Arabs say, Arabs say, Waqid al-Shay, lying. Someone who does not have something cannot give it. You don't have something. How can you give something you don't have? Why didn't the prophet say, don't worry, when you go there, if you start preaching, you will know it. Will he receive another wahy? Is there one wahy in Yemen that he wants to receive aside from the one that has established in Medina? No any other wahy anywhere. And that was why he was writing letters to him. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, when he assumed that, he was writing letters to all these people, instructing them. Because no wahy anywhere again. Yet, it is his kalamun nasu. The halalillahi wa haram. It's a hadith, right? The prophet said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, on the day of Qiyamah, the scholars will be like this in front of Muaz ibn Jabal, will be in their front. The ulama will be like this. He will be seated in their front like this. Muaz ibn Jabal, Abu Abdurrahman. This is the person he sent. So when he goes there, he will sit down there. He's not going there to spend 10 days or 20 days or 40 days. He sit down there and teach the people this halal and haram. People will learn. Allah ta'aleem. Because learning something is different from picking up something emotionally. Someone comes to say, you see Jesus, he likes you, he died for you, he did to this, why not accept him? He's still appealing for your emotion. But someone says to you, La ilahumma Allah. He says, La ilaha illallah. He's not appealing to you. He's affirming to you that no one is worthy of worship except Allah. He starts telling you, he created the heavens, he created the earth, he created this. He's giving you knowledge and conviction. It is different from her. There are many Muslims that are suffering. Yes, there will be many Muslims. It is true. The Muslims don't know how to pray. Even you don't know. You don't know too. So how will you know? Not by going, but by sitting down, learning, perfect it. You sit down too and explain it. According to your ability. Because la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa ma. So, but one of the problems of the present day and the way Muslims behave these days is people put upon their head what Allah has not put upon them. One Muslim is living in Nigeria and his family has more than 20 mushrikun. He says if he goes mushrikun in South Africa that he wants to liberate first. Why is that? And he wants to liberate them by only spending 40 days there. Huh? When Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani, radiallahu anhu, came to Africa, this is why and how the city called Kairouan was formed. Because these people, these Africans, their issue is not just you can go, sit down here. So they established the city called Kairouan. And you know, when they established that city, Allah gave them karama. Because the city was established in the open desert. They had a lot of animals, dangerous animals, disturbing them at the time. So he gathered himself in some riwayat, it's about 25 other companions, radiallahu anhu. And they made dua, oh Allah, we are the companions of Muhammad. We want to stay in this city. They say, oh you animals, we are the companions of Muhammad. We want to stay in this city. We want to be able to leave the city now. They said after the third day, they saw animals walking out of the city. Snakes, lions, leopards, walking out. It's reported in the Muslim books, in many books of Sirah. Ibn Amir al-Juhani. They walked out, people, these animals walked out, and the city of Kairouan was established. Just take your time to study the history of the town. The whole is in the country today, is in Tunisia. Study what contribution Kairouan made. And even the basic sciences, math, physics, chemistry, medicine, and all this, the city of Kairouan in Africa was established by the companions. 24 of them. So they sat down there and taught Islam. It was from Kairouan that Islam got to Senegal. Look at from Tunisia to Senegal. And all of West Africa like that took Islam from Kairouan. They were established. And this companion himself, Rabbi Nalu, moved down into Africa. down, 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 until he got to Quora. He turned back at the manager. There are narrations on that. Yes. So, knowledge is the instrument of da'wah. Da'wah, one of the scholars will say, a da'i, someone who calls to Islam without knowledge, is shaitan in the garb of a scholar. Because what we need to call them to? He himself does not understand la ilaha illallah. So that's why I start explaining to them that the meaning of la ilaha illallah, if you are cutting okra, if you are not the one cutting okra, it is Allah that is cutting the okra. That is la ilaha illallah. It's shirk. If you are riding a motorcycle, you are not the one riding, it is Allah that is riding. That's not tawhid. So the best of what you get is tawhid al-tawhid al-rububiyyah. Allah takes the heavens. He takes the earth. The treasure of every good is in the hands of Allah. Even mushrikun know this one. That's why Allah says, وَلَا إِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا يَقْدِرُ اللَّهِ. Mushrikun know this one, that the treasure of good and evil is in the hands of Allah. The one that they have not agreed is that those things are not worthy of worship except Allah. And that is one you don't know. So, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, عَلَمُ النَّاسِ فِي الْأُمَّةِ بِحَرَامِ اللَّهِ وَحَلَالِهِ is the one he sent here. After all time, he sent Abu Huraira, half of an Ummah. Okay, Abu sent Mu'adh, alayhi salatu, radiallahu anhu. After he sent Abu Huraira, before Abu, he sent Ali. Look at each of them. He sent Abu Huraira. أعلم الناس بأحاديث الرسول عليه السلام. He sent Mu'adh. أعلم الناس بحلال والحرام. وقراءه is from the قراء of this Ummah. Because he said to us عليه السلام, anyone who wants to learn Quran, let him learn it from Ibn Mas'ud, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and Ibn Abi Ubay ibn Ka'ab, and one companion is left. He mentioned four in Bukhari and Muslim. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Ubayy ibn Ka'b, and one, Ibn Abi Hudhayfa, Salim ibn Abi Hudhayfa, Salim ibn Abi Hudhayfa, to the fourth that he mentioned in that hadith. So these are the people he sent out. Some people say it is because the people who know Islam didn't go, that's where they are going. You, who sent you? People who know Islam being good, you don't know Islam, you are going. Do you understand? When you say somebody has a gun, that's a lion, he is dodging. You who didn't have a gun, you say, oh lion, let me go kill you. Is it not one thing to kill himself? So that's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, khayrukum, khayrukum, man. علم القرآن والعلم بتعلمي والحلم بتحلمي. He says العلم بتعلمي, knowledge is acquired by learning, والحلم having humaneness is also learned by practicing being humane. So he says the best of you is the one who learns the Quran and then teaches it. This one doesn't even know how to recite Fatiha. He says he's playing 4 months. Yeah, 4 months in what? The 4 months I should have used to learn Tajweed from one servant of Allah. Yeah. So, one, this is reality we are saying to ourselves. Many people pray the prayer badly. And the evilness in the Salah comes from even Surah Al-Fatiha, read badly. People read badly. La sama Allah. Al-Aqara Surah Al-Fatiha. Yeah, Kira'at and Sayyah. So let's try. This is frank truth. This is frank truth.
So Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he will not be sending him to other. Meanwhile, he told him in one night, hey, look, you are going to people who have received revelation before. He's giving him information. The people you are going to have received revelation. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that's why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he said one day to the Qadi, he says, Inna Mu'adhan Ummatan Qanitan Lillahi Hanifan Wama Kana Min Al Mushriki. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud one day, he said, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, say, Mu'adh ibn Jabal Ummatan, he himself is Ummah, is upon the truth. That's the name. Always, because the one who is upon the truth is the Ummah. Qanitan Lillah, full of obedience to Allah. Hanifa, he makes his worship for Allah alone. Wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen, he never was from those who were mushrikun, who didn't partner with Allah. The people said to him, Ma qala Allah hadha illa fi Ibrahim alayhi. If it's regarding Ibrahim that Allah said this man, Ibn Mas'ud said to them, Did you hear me saying Ibrahim? Did you hear that I said Ibrahim? I said Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Ummatan. It meant that he now said that they at the time of the Prophet Muhammad ibn Mas'ud, he said they used to liken Mu'adh to Nabi Ibrahim. Ibn Mas'ud said, I say it's Ummatan Qanitan and all this. In those days, we used to liken him to Nabi Ibrahim. So that's why he used all those attributes that Allah used for Nabi. So he's the one who has narrated this hadith. There's a report that indicates that this statement was said to him by the Prophet Muhammad while he was on his way to Yemen. But that report is weak. That is from the instructions he got from the Prophet while going to Yemen. But that report is weak. Whether it was now part of it or not, we can't say. But Prophet told that, and he heard that, and reported it to him, radiallahu anhu, together with Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. So that was why Imam al-Nawawi said, alayhi rahmatullah, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. May Allah, the Most High, subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He shower His blessings, mercy upon them. And Rasulullah sallallahu. The both of them reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, Ittaqillaha haythuma kunt. Ittaqillaha haythuma kunt. Fear Allah wherever you are. Haythu zarful makan. Wherever you are, fear Allah. What does it mean? Taqwa. To have taqwa. What does it mean? Ulama say, At-taqwa asluhu an yaj'ala al-abdu baynahu wa bayna ma yakhafuhu wa yahzuruhu wiqayatan. That servant should place between himself and what he fears. He should place a fence, a defense wall, a barrier between himself and what he fears. So when Allah says, that is placed between you and the fire, what? Something that does not make you enter the hell. From Tawheed, from Salat, from Ramadan, from these good things. Something that will prevent you from going. Allah says, Salat, you now interpret what you mean, obedience to Allah regarding His orders, and abstinence from the prohibitions of sin. Because those are the things that will prevent somebody from getting into. They say also when Allah says, for something wrong, that is placed between yourself and Allah's anger and punishment, something that does not make you earn His anger and punishment. You see, that is all of Islam. Place between yourself and Allah's anger a barrier. What is that barrier? Of worship, Tawheed and all of this. So,
being afraid of Allah's anger and his punishment, and acting in a manner to run away from this is taqwa. And that's why he says, ذلك يخوف الله به عباده يا عبادي فاتقوني. ذلك يخوف الله. What was he talking about? He says, لهم ذل لهم من فوقهم. He says, فاعبدوا ما شئتم من دونه إن الخاسرين الذين خسروا أنفسهم وأهليهم يوم القيامة على ذلك هو الخسران. Is lahum min fawqihim dhulalun wa min tahtihim dhulalun. Is zalika yukhawwifu Allah bihi ibadah ya ibadi fattaqun. You worship what you like. Fa'budu ma shi'tum min dunihi. Worship what you like as Allah. Worship it. Inna al-khasirina. The true rulers are those alladhina khasiru anfusahum wa ahlihim yawm al-qiyam. They are those who lost themselves, who will lose their lives and lose their families on the day of Qiyam. Says Allah, certainly, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ. It's this clear loss. He says, لَهُمْ, these people, those who chose to worship whomever they liked, except Allah, لَهُمْ ذُلَلٌ مِّنْ فَوْكِهِمْ لَهُمْ ذُلَلٌ مِّنْ فَوْكِهِمْ وَمِنْ تَحْتِهِمْ ذُلَلٌ. They will have layers of punishment to both them and from below them. Punishment will come from above and below. They will be covered above and below by the punishment of Allah. Minanna. Fire. Say, ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادًا. These things, Allah makes it to make the servant to fear him. يُخَوِّفُهُ. He makes us fear him. So don't say, I don't fear Allah. Fear Allah. Allah is saying, I want you to fear me. He says, Ya Ibadi, oh my creatures, fattaqun, fear me. What are we fearing here? His punishment and his anger. So to fear Allah's punishment and his anger and act in such a manner that will prevent us from his punishment and his anger in this dunya and akhirah is what is referred to as what? Taqwa. The taqwa that is fear Allah's anger. Fear Allah's annoyance. Fear Allah's wrath is punishment. There are so many examples like that in the Quran. So that's why when someone now acts in these manners to run away from those things, he becomes from those that Allah loves. As I said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah loves the muttaqu. Because these people, they are the ones that the Quran becomes a guide for. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون الذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك بالآخرة هم يؤمنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. This is صفة of متقون. This is attribute صفة. Muttaqun, those who fear Allah. All of what that verse contains, both generally and specifically. So when he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that ittaqillaha, run away from everything that will bring you close to Allah's anger and his wrath, haythuma kunta, wherever you are. Don't be a man in the public, you are muttaqi. But inside, in your secrecy, you are not muttaqi. That's why he added, Kaifuma kunta, wherever you are. Inside the market, be a muttaqi. Outside the market, be muttaqi. You see, muna chicken kaswani, we are inside market. So, one man maganan kasa'a, muttaqi, haifuma kana. Yattaqillah. The one who is muttaqi, wherever he is. He fears Allah. He's a teacher, he fears Allah. He's teaching the students, he fears Allah with it. He's teaching reproductive biology. He will not say what he's not supposed to say, where he's not supposed to say it, and in a manner he's not supposed to say it. He fears Allah in everything. It's a very, very serious thing. And it is similar to what he said to us in the hadith of Jibreel. أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه إنه يراك. Surely he sees you, even when you are not seeing him. So he says, عليه الصلاة والسلام, اتق الله حيثما كنت. Fear Allah wherever you are. There are so many benefits of taqwa. He says, ومن يتق الله يجعل له من أمره يسرا. The one who fears Allah, Allah makes his affairs easy. Allah puts ease in his affairs. Let's be literary. He puts يجعل له من أمره يسرا. Allah puts ease into his affairs. He will not have problems in his head. He's afraid of Allah and everything. He's not afraid of HIV. He's not afraid of all what people are afraid of when they get those things from those sources that Allah has created. If it happens to him after all that, alhamdulillah, sabar, kana khairan lahu. He will be patient. And that will be good also for him. So, ittaqullah haythuma kunta. It's a very serious matter. Every work you do, everything you do, ittaqullah haythuma kunta. There are other virtues of taqwa in the Quran, but let's go on for time. That surah to Talaq, he mentioned about 4 or 5 benefits. يَجَلَّ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ وَيَتَقِ اللَّهَ يَجَلَّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Is it not money people are looking for? You say, fear Allah. People work in bank, they say, we want money. Allah says, fear me. Don't work in bank. يَرْزُقُكَ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَحْتَسِبُ. He'll enrich you from angles you don't expect. One of the people with whom we performed this Hajj, this last Hajj, said to me that one of those, he is one of the learned people, alhamdulillah. So he said one of those who came with him in his group that he led was making tawaf around the Kaaba this year's Hajj. And after the tawaf, nothing. After the tawaf, he stood behind Maqam Ibrahim to make 2 rakats of nothing. So he said he was sweating, so he wanted to dip his hands into his pocket to bring out his handkerchief that was there and clean his face. He said, but when he put his hand into his pocket, his hands could not get into the pocket. You know what is filling the pocket? Hard currency. Dollar, riyal. He wants to bring out... And the sheikh told me that he told him that this money is your own. You didn't pick it. Even if you have picked it, but it's ruling applicable to what you picked from Hudud al-Haram. So he said, so it's your money. He said, but let's still go and ask other scholars. So he said he took him, the person who took him said to me that he took him to ask other scholars too. And they said, it is his money. They said the brother was crying. He said, what he was asking for? So what is he looking for? He said, Allah, if you just bless me. I said, give you raw cash. People will say, will Allah throw money from the heaven? Can't he throw it from the heaven? He can't do it. He can't do it. Did he not bring food from the heaven for some people? إِنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Well, yeah, Allah, enrich me. The money he got to go for the Hajj, he just says, give me at least. It's Allah's work now. But I can't love her. Allah, inana. Allah said, don't worry. Is this your intention? Allah, inana. I'll give you raw cash. Give him the money raw. In foreign currency, not naira. Imagine what dollar and riyal will fill a pocket that he could not put his hand into the pocket. ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. Allah enriches from where you don't expect. He'll enrich you. Desire is enough. You'll be wondering how much is the money. What did I even do? Say Allah. Allah, what did I do? This money don't much. That's how he does. You can get that from what? Taqwa. So many things. You can get all your life to be good with taqwa. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. The one in Ahzab. He says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي That's the Nisa. From خُطْبَةُ الْحَاجَةِ. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. If you do that, يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. These are the benefits of taqwa. All your affairs will be right. Everybody will be asking, how are you doing? Say, Allah. It is Allah who will do it for you. He used aslaha. He will do it for you. The one where you make mistake on your own, I will forgive you that mistake. There are many benefits of taqwa from the Quran. We can look for other verses ourselves and complete it, inshallah. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa'atbi as-sayyi'ata al-hasana. Follow up every sinful deed with a righteous deed. You fall into a thing, quickly change it. Because he says, wa'aqim as-salat, qarafayin nahari, wa zulafan min al-layl. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. He said, ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَ لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. He says, وَعَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ. He says, establish the salah. طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ. And the two parts of the what? Of the day. وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. And aspects of the night. He said, because إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Because good deeds take away evil deeds, shameful deeds. Salat. You perform salat, Allah counts you, remove sins from you. You go to the masjid, Allah removes sins from you. You fast on Ashura when it is not Saturday, Allah removes sins. That's why he removes sins from you. Yawm al-Arafah, sins go away from you. You perform Hajj, Tarjih ka yawma waladatka ummuka. You are going to return born again. As if they just gave birth to you yesterday. That's why you always see them look fresh when they first came. And as time goes on, they start looking dark again. Because sins darken the face. Imam Qatada, Al-Sayyid al-Mujbayr, one of them, is reported in Musnad Abi Bakr ibn Abi Shayba, that he looked at Al-Hajar al-Aswad and said, if sins can cause a stone to become black, what will it do to a human being? Because the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he came from the Jannah white, but it was the sins of the people that made it become what? Black. If sin can make some stone to become black, what will it do to human beings? Because he said, when I entered at the time of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, when I entered into the Kaaba, I saw other aspects of the stone. They are not black. It was whitish. But outside is black. Al-Hajar al-Aswad. You can also check it in Al-Imam al-Fatih's Akhbar al-Makkah. It's not authentic. So don't wait till that time. Do make deeds that will free you from these things. Allah free us of our sins. This verse was said to have been revealed after a companion came to the Prophet Muhammad. Because they are Bashar, they are human beings. And with them Allah taught us lessons. many things happen to them so that we learn lessons. We come behind. But for all of them, Allah has given them radiyallahu anhum wa radu. Look at the what we are saying about Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So someone comes and says, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he did so and so. He committed one thing. Say, what concern you? He said, you won't trouble yourself with that one. The one who created him, say, forgive him. Do you understand? You are the one troubling yourself with committed one thing. That is your own problem. But between him and Allah, all those things are not problem. This is the way to deal with companions. So we mention a shortcoming of theirs. This companion did what a man does with a woman, his wife, except cohabitation with a woman. The woman came to buy something from him. So he said he took her into his place and did everything except that he didn't cohabit with her. So he came to the Prophet, what will happen to me? And this verse was here. وَأَكِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرٌ لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. That he was told, perform salah, make istighfar. Prophet said, go and make istighfar. Allah has forgiven you. After he performed the salah for that, he said, Allah has forgiven you. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And he said to us, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, وَأَتْبِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ. If you fall into a shortcoming, a sin, quickly go back and do a good deed that will cancel out that good deed. If that good deed can be tawbah, it can be istighfar, it can be salat, it can be turakat, it can be reading Quran, it can be doing sadaqah, it can be any good deed, repeat by the mercy of Allah, Allah will cancel your shortcoming. Follow it up. Don't waste time with it. May Allah remove our sins from us. And he said, when you do that, tamsuha, it will obliterate, it will cancel that. Even, you know, the shortcomings are recorded as one, but these ones are recorded in folds, manifolds. Definitely it will obliterate it. He says, wa khaliqin nasa bi khuluqin hasanin. Deal with the people nicely. When you relate to people, deal with them nicely. He says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثُ لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I've been raised from very important message in my net, in the reason for which I was raised is to perfect the morals of the people. This area must be very careful about it. Some people say, oh, people who are Salafis, they always talk about Akidah, Ibadah, Abidah. They don't talk about Akhlaq. It's a lie. It's your lie. So Akhlaq is talked about and it is emphasized. When you talk to people, make sure you are being truthful with them. Don't deceive them. Be nice to them. Give to them. Aid them. Overlook their mistakes. These things are not very, very easy. But we learn them. And that's why one of the companions asked the Prophet, are people created with good character? Because he told him that you have two good characters. Those two characters. Is it Jibili? Was I created? I said, yes, you are created with them. He said, I thank Allah that has created me upon something which is beloved to him. So in some cases, you learn it, and it becomes a part of you. So in some cases, you have some, you don't have some. So each person should look at himself. What does he have from nice character, and what does he not have? So those ones that he has, he deals upon it. And those ones that he does not have, he learns them. You see, this thing will require us to sit down and look at ourselves critically. If you can't sit down to sincerely and critically look at yourself, it may not benefit you, other than that you are heavy. If you sit down, look at yourself, you see your strong areas in terms of character, and you see your weak areas in terms of character. Ulama say character is from three things. One,
remove harm from the people. Kafful adha. Withhold, don't let any harm touch anybody from your hand. Hold this. Don't let any harm touch anybody from your hand. Never. And from the hand of another person, as much as you can prevent it, prevent it. But from your own hand, let no harm touch anyone. Anas bin Malik said, the Prophet never slapped him. Or never slapped anybody. I never raised any sword except he was on the field of jihad. That's why the people like him, they kill. They are the worst people to be killed. The person that a Nabi kills. And of all of them, Muhammad, Ra'uf or Rahim. He raised his one killing. Last of all. May Allah save us from that. Anyway, he has saved us from that. What is left is that we believe in him strongly and follow his lines of conduct. So if we can't sit down to look at these things, it will be difficult. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, أَحَبُّ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا أَحَبُّ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. The best, most beloved of the servants of Allah to Allah are those ones that are best in their character. So the first thing about character, don't let evil come to someone's hands from you. Preventing evil. The second thing, bringing about good to you. If it is possible that every person you know gets good things from you, Allah says, even if it is just nice look, you smile at them, that they can get from you, let them get it. Smile. You can get smile from you. Give them that one too. He says, Sadaqa. And the third thing about character is al-afu. Forgiving them. Pardoning them. Just look. Believe it. And think of Allah. Believe it. I overlook. We like to remember the hadith of the Prophet with Aisha. A Jew came to the Prophet and said, Assalamu alaikum. The Prophet didn't react. But Aisha was, she said, Assalamu alaihi alaik wa la'anatu. Take more. Say the Prophet said, the word of Allah be upon the Prophet. Aisha said, the word of Allah be upon you and his wrath. He said to her, alayhi salatu, say, ya Aisha, take it easy. Easy. Take it easy with him. That's why the best of what we say to them is what? Wa alaykum, for you too. Except as the ulama say, and as it's established from narrations from people like Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, that if they clearly say assalamu alaikum, yes, it's like wa alaikum assalam. Because what Allah says is wa idha huyikum, when you are greeted, he didn't say when a Muslim greets you, when you are greeted, the tahiyyah getting put. So if it's a non-Muslim that greets you with tahiyyah, he says, respond to him. If it is clearly assalamu alaikum, respond. That's what those companions, Bilal ibn Abbas, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and others say. If it is clearly stated, they say assalamu alaikum, you respond appropriately. But if you are not sure what they say, say wa alaikum. If it is good, wa alaikum. If it is evil, they have said to you, wa alaikum. But here we are trying to point out the character of the Prophet Muhammad. Being easy with the people. This hadith, Rawahu Tirmidhi. And Imam Tirmidhi reported the hadith. Wa qala, and he said, hadithun hasanun. This hadith is when Imam Tirmidhi says the hadith is Hassan, is different from every other person's consideration of hadith to be Hassan.
الحسن عند الإمام الترمذي يختلف من الحسن عند غيره. When others say hadith Hassan, it's not different from hadith Sahih, except in one thing. The one who reports hadith Sahih is Tam al-Dabt. The one who reports hadith Hassan is called Khafif al-Dabt. We discussed that. But in the istilah, in the technical uses of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, if he says hadith Hassan, three things must be there. Number one is that he has more than one chain of narration, at least two. The second one is that in all the chains of narration, there will not be kazab or muttahamun bil kazab. Kazab, ardent liar, who fabricates narrations and ascribes it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A muttahamun bil kazab is someone who lies in his daily affairs, but he does not fabricate something and ascribe it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the second condition. There must not be a kazab, and there must not be muttahamun bil kazab. The third condition is that it must not be what shav. It must not contradict what other more reliable people have reported. So in the Imam al-Tirmidhi, this is the meaning of hadithun hasan. So generally, it usually falls in a hadith called al-hadithu hasanun li ghayrihi. Hasanun li ghayrihi. And that shows the hikmah in mentioning that it was reported by more than one companion. We will not be saying Hassan. We've tried to explain this Hassan Sahih sometimes. It says, وَفِي بَعْدِ النُّفَحْ in some copies of Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Hassanun Sahih. What you find is that they say that the hadith is Hassanun Sahih. Hadith of Hassanun Sahih. You see now Imam al-Tirmidhi, if he says Hassan, is different from when he says Hassan and Sahih. The two Hassan have different meanings. Hassan, when he says only using Hassan, is what we have explained. But when he says Hassan and Sahih, that Hassan means another thing. This first Hassan in Hassan and Sahih, ulama say that the whole expression has two meanings. So here, that Hassan will mean a hadith that is Hassan, where we have Khafif al-Dabt. That it has more than one chain of narration. In some, the chain is Hassan, in some, the chain is Sahih. It's one meaning. Another meaning is that they say, okay, it could be only one chain. But there is a reporter there about whom the scholars vary. Is he Tam al-Dabt or Khafif al-Dabt? It's Hassan. If you say it is Tam al-Dabt, it is Sahih. If you say it is Khafif al-Dabt, he is what? Hassan. This Hassan here is different from Hassan when he said Ibnari Hassan. So this Hassan here will mean Hassanun Lizatihi. But here what appears correct, Allahu Alam, because of the first usage is that the narration has come from different chains. One Hassan, one Sahih. Allahu Alam. But this is the hadith that we have tried to explain today. We pray Almighty Allah to make us understand better that it has been said. If there are 1, 2, 3 questions, we can attempt to answer them, inshallah. Now, now, can't we take it one after the other? Salafi. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith is reported by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Sunan, that he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Al-Imanu Yamani wal-Hikmatu Yamaniya. If you tell this to a Yamani, he will mad. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Al-Imanu Yamani, Iman, in its nature, has come from Yemen. Or the people of Yemen are known with Iman. Wal hikmatu Yamaniya. And wisdom is also from Yemen.
or the people of Yemen are also wise people. There are a lot of things people have said, the scholars have said about this hadith. Some say it was addressing a particular group of people. That were people of Iman. And from them was Abu Huraira. Some of people have said that this hadith is talking about Abu Huraira. Because Abu Huraira accepted Islam and Iman from where? From Yemen. And then he came to Medina. This is from Hikmah. Not only that, when people are busy in the market, he didn't go anywhere, he sat down in the Prophet's masjid and was listening to him. He stayed with him for only 3 years, but he had more narrations than even people who were with him for all the 23 years. Is it Hikmah or not? Some say it is referring to Abu Huraira. Some say it is referring to particular Qabail, tribes. And some say it is referring to everything as far as Iman, as far as Yaman is concerned. Allahu Alam. From all the people of Yemen who are upon correct Iman, correct Ibadah, correct Manhaj, who recite this hadith again. Ala zahirihi. That al-imanu yamani. Wal-hikmatu yamani. The hadith is authentic. Hassan, say about that. You say Muslim brother nice, Muslim brother good, Ibadah good. From Yemen, like that. Perhaps if you talk about Abu Huraira, you can apply it. It's applicable. So now when we see a man from Yemen, he carries out suicide bomb and say, oh no, that one is not from Islam. So to him, we will not tell him that al-imanu yamani. We will not tell him that. Just like he said about Quraysh. He says, an-nasu taba'an lil-Quraysh. The mankind will ever be behind Quraysh. That's why when a Mahdi comes, he will be from Quraysh. People will always follow Quraysh as long as they remain upon the truth. So if Abu Jahl comes from, Abu Lahab comes from Quraysh and say, I'm Quraysh, you say this hadith is not applicable to you. If one Quraysh came one time in the early 80s, and said, you know Mahdi. He went to Makkah, he stood up and said, I'm Mahdi, inside the Sada King's people, inside Haram. He said, you are not Mahdi. Yes, this hadith is authentic, but it's not applicable to you. Since that time, he has died, Isa alayhi salam has not come now. He is Mahdi. So, event, time has shown that he's a liar. Allahumma ahsin akibatana fil umuri kulliha. وَأَجِرْنَا مِنْ خِزِي الدُّنْيَا وَعَذَابِ الْآخِرَةِ. Many people, time show that they are liars. May Allah make us think well in every of our lives. Same last time they were saying that the whole Nigeria is kafir. Anybody who is working on is kafir. Is this kafir. Go to school, you're kafir. Time show that they are liars. Did time not show that it's a lie? That's why from the aspect of Iman is that when there will be no Iman on earth again, Allah will clear mankind on earth. When Iman will end, no human beings will not exist again. And from the evil of shirk and inhiraf is that it will never last. What did he say about Ibrahim and Tawheed? وَجَعَلْنَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاكِيَةً فِي عَقِيدِ. Look at what Ibrahim alayhi salam was shouting, Tawheed, Tawheed, Tawheed. See, today there is still Tawheed. You try and deny all those people. Some people shouting now that it is only how to bomb people, kill innocent people, take innocent lives that is to establish Islam. Time will still show that they are liars. So today we will not tell them Iman Yamani anything. Just like we will not tell a Quraysh that a human being will be following Quraysh. It's not you. Can we try the second question, inshallah? Now, yes, he accepted Islam when he was 18 years old. Muadh ibn Jabal accepted Islam at prime age. He accepted Islam at age 18. He's from the Ansar, Khazraj. He was in Aqaba with the Prophet Muhammad. All those Bayat al-Aqaba, he witnessed it. He witnessed every battle the Prophet fought. Muadh. أعلم الناس بالحلال والحرام. حلال لسان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. From the tongue of the Prophet Muhammad. No contestant. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. He proclaimed that Kaaba. So what happened? What? There are narrations that he came to Kaaba that he was from the first people to announce the Kalima La ilaha illallah. When he came to Kaaba and shouted La ilaha illallah, that's how the narration goes. That they beat him seriously, got him. He lost consciousness. But where are the Asanis? That something is talked about as a story does not mean that it is authentic. And that it was after that beating, the Prophet told him to go back to his people. And that when they were beating him, one of the people of Makkah, because his people, Banu Gifar, they were people known for armed robbery. So they told him, you are beating Abu Dhar from Gifar. His people, when you are going for your Rihlat al-Shita, it was safe, to trade in Dimashq, they will stop you on the way and seize all your goods. So, they said that was the reason that it was left. This is contained in the books of Sirah. But where is it not? Is it authentic or not? That's what I can say as I'm sitting. That's why I didn't mention all of this. From the companion that Allah made it easy for me to follow his life most was Abu Dhar. So but I can't say whether that story is authentic as I sit now. But if it is authentic, so what? You can say, lie, 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 Kaaba, kind of mother. Believe in it. He proclaimed it. Lie, 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 to be proclaimed. From Iman is that we utter Iman. When he proclaimed, tell him, lie, 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 did he tell him that he should go out for 30 days? For 10 days? Or how many days? He didn't tell him all that. La ilaha illallah is to be proclaimed now. But what comes after is proclamation. Allahu alam. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Last question, inshallah. Huh? Now. Okay. I don't know whether it's authentic. Do you understand? But don't forget what you told us about Abu Dhar at the beginning, if you were here. That's why sometimes when some of us come late and we ask some questions, I don't like to go back to them. It would have been answered in some part of the... In any case, you tell me now whether Uthman ibn Affan was a sinner. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got to Medina, there is the well that the Muslims needed. And this well was the only one available with water at the time. The Prophet said, alayhi salam, anyone who buys this well was belonging to a Jew. Anyone who buys this well will enter Al-Jannah. Uthman was not there, radiallahu anhu, when the statement was made. But he heard it. And he asked the price. It was said that the price was to slaughter a camel and dry its skin and fill the camel with golden coins. Today, our nisab for zakah is only 20 of those coins that we say it is 480,000, 400,000. Kill a camel, dry its skin and fill it with golden coins. So that was the price they wanted. Uthman did it for the Allah.
So he went to the prophet and said, "Prophet, what did you say about anyone who buys that wealth? They will enter the jannah. I bought it. Say you will enter the jannah." That money, was it that day that he spent it that he got it? He did not get it that day. And the prophet, it was the matter in terms of dealing with the prophet Muhammad. The hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, when he was ill, he wanted to die. This hadith is in Sahih. I'm not saying that the hadith is Sahih. I say it's in Sahih. I mean Bukhari or Muslim or the key. And he was saying that he wants to leave all his wealth for the Muslims. What did the prophet tell him? He said, "Don't leave the wealth, all of them." He said, "Let me leave half." He said, "No, don't leave half." He said, "Let me leave one." He said, "I'll soon look at it." Is that one? You sleep here waking up, the wealth is there now. And he told him, alayhi salatu wasalam, that you leave your wealth with your family, that they are rich. It's better for them that you leave them, they start going around the people begging. That's why he didn't sleep to wake up to get the money. That's why we are saying that some of what Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu will speak about are things that are ordinarily permissible. But he thinks, but let's still try to be moderating. Yeah, it's not meaning that those who do not follow what he says is wrong. That's even when if we want to accept that it's wrong. So some people want to make Abu Dharr to become Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Abu Dharr is not Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad. Of all human beings, the only one who will not err is Muhammad. So the hidayah and the guidance and followership is with him. Any other person will be as long as it conforms with what he says. Alayhi salatu. I know someone who was even arguing, trying to make the deal of Abu Dharr over Abu Bakr and Siddiq. I say, if you do that, you have made mukhalafah of the whole Ahlul Sunnah al Jama'ah. The whole companions, including Abu Dharr, you have made mukhalafah of Abu Dharr. خَيْرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بَعْدَ نَبِيِّهَا أَبُو بَكْرِ الصِّدِّيقِ. The best of this ummah. Why not Abu Dharr? So the statement of any human being apart from the Prophet Muhammad is tantamount to being looked at in line with the Prophet's statement. For as long as it conforms, yes. For as long as it deviates, no. If you say follow companion, they are not saying follow one companion. Follow Jailu Sahaba. If one Abu Dharr amongst how many made Hajjatul Wida with the Prophet, 140,000. So if we find us with only Abu Dharr, we know this is what he wants and he likes. And it's not also wrong. He's only cautioning us not to be excessive in terms of indulging with the matters of the dunya. That's not also wrong. But at the same time, those of us who indulge and do that within the limits of the Sharia, it's not also wrong. In fact, we may be getting a lot of reward with it. Usman bought Jannah for himself now. For money. I have to tell people, many companions were very stupendously rich people. They had money with them. Real money. You consider people like Usman ibn Affan in the future of the Bill Gates of today. That'll be a lot. Stupendously rich. Richness in itself is not an evil. What is the problem is, how did you get it? And in what are you spending it? That's the problem. But the world itself. Allah says for the people, these things are the tayyibat of this dunya, they are to be enjoyed by those who fear Allah. So, for us to enjoy them and within the limits of the Sharia. We'll stop here, inshallah. Kullu ma kullu hala wa sattir ilahi wa lakum. Subhanakallah wa shumma. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.